there looking at me. Look who says she cares and still really needs me. Then maybe this summertime won't be a summer alone. Maybe this summertime my baby's coming back home. She says, why be alone? 'Cause she's coming back home.
It's DJ Terry and
Kieran. How's it going?
Good. It's just after midnight. It's Saturday morning, and we've got Into the Darkness for the next 2 hours, and I've got a co-host tonight, and I'm very excited to have my son, Kieran, join me on Into the Darkness tonight. Welcome, Kieran.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate you letting me be on the air for a couple hours with you.
Yeah, we're gonna mix things up tonight. We're not gonna do my typical reggae for the first hour. We got a whole bunch of different music curated for the first time in a long time where I've let somebody else take the wheels. So,
well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, so let's finish out a little Prodigy, and then we're gonna play a new one favorite song of mine before we get things going.
So you'll hear all about it after.
You will, definitely. All right, here we go.
Outer space, find another race. I'm
All right. Well, that was cool. I love that intro. I love playing it every week. So we're going to kick things off tonight with a new song for me. It's called Magnetic. I played it yesterday on the show with my wife, Sherry, and is our new opening intro song. So we've kind of switched through our intro songs, and now we've moved over to this. I'm going to play a remix of this. Karen, where did you hear this song? Because it was you that actually introduced me to this and now become addicted to it.
Yeah, it's a pretty good song. I heard it online. Like, literally, it just came up on, like, my For You page on somebody's Instagram photo dump, and I was like, this is a pretty catchy tune. So I looked it up, and I saw that this, like, pop group didn't have many songs. Like, they maybe had like 10, and yeah. This was their most popular, so I was like, yeah, I'll check this out, and played it a couple months ago, and it's been playing like in the background at our house, and you've been like, what is this song? And then when we were driving home from Philadelphia pretty much this time last week, like last Saturday, 6 days ago, oh man, you played this 10 times in a row. You wouldn't
easily
stop playing it.
No, I know, it's great. It's a catchy tune. Anyway, I'm gonna play the remix of it. We played the original yesterday, but we'll play the remix now, and we'll check things out. Here we go, guys. Little Magnetic by Bausa, and it's Bausa. So if you guys are looking for them later, that's how you find them. All right, man. I really like that. I actually looked up the style or genre of that music, and it's called Scandi House. And it's basically, it's a mix of uplifting club music, mixed with disco classics and elements of funk, topped off with a catchy vocal hook. And then when you go over here and you look it up, it actually calls it Rust music, which is a subgenre, apparently, of EDM. And, that comes from Norway. I've never even heard of Rust music before.
Next time somebody asks you what you're into, just go, yeah, I'm into Norwegian pop music. I don't really want to brag.
Norwegian techno.
Yeah. It's kind of my thing. Yeah.
Which is crazy.
I'm glad you like it so much. Yeah, I'll definitely suggest more songs like that in the future.
It's got such a really cool vibe. I mean, I want to play it. I've got a wedding coming up today, actually. In
12 hours?
Yeah, not even 12 hours, yeah. And I will absolutely play this at some point today at this wedding, whether it's during the cocktail reception. It won't be dinner. It'd be too upbeat for dinner. But somewhere in the night, I'm gonna throw on Magnetic. It's going to be my new go-to song.
It's a good song.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so tell everybody what you've been up to. Like, you're a hard guy to get a hold of, I got to be honest.
Well, you can get a hold of me, but yeah. I don't know about other people. Well, this Sunday feels like it's currently going to be the biggest day of my entire life at the moment. And it feels like the last 5 years have been building to this. But to make a very long story short, my sister.
We got 2 hours.
We do. Yeah, I know. But I could talk for ages.
I know, but we can hash this out between songs. So let's go. Let's tell them all about it.
Yeah. To make a very long story short, Sarah Marie, who is my sister, your other child, and I run a business together online that we started a few years back. And that business leads to selling clothing, but also making online documentaries about like college parties in the United States, all sorts of cool stuff. And we ended up getting reached out to by like a massive social media brand in 2024, like January 2nd of 2024, saying, hey, do you want to buy us and acquire it? Because we would like to sell it to Barstool, but we don't really like their business practices. So we'd rather you buy it. And we think that you have a lot of integrity based on what you've been putting out. So we'd love for you to buy it. And I was like, all right, let me call my sister and see what we can do. And we spoke on the phone for a couple hours and then figured it out that 9 days later we were able to buy it. And ever since then, I've been responsible for running it. And she does all of the actual work, the hard stuff.
Are you going to say the name of it?
No, I mean, the stuff that, well, I will after, but the stuff that requires the actual administrative stuff that's actually difficult. She's the one who does all that, and I'm the one posting on the social media. And there's no face to it whatsoever, but basically it's all about like vintage content from the 80s and 90s of like the biggest fraternities in the United States. And basically like we reach like millions of people every single month. And
Your hit ratio? I hear you saying sometimes you get
on a bad day, like for example, today was a bad day and we only reached 90,000 people. And on an average
which is
day,
crazy.
Yeah, on an average day, it's I want to say anywhere between 100 to 300 to 400,000 people. And then on like a spectacular day, sometimes what we do like once every 10 to 12 days, what we post hits the Explore page on Instagram. And for example, like we posted a photo like a week ago, and 2 days after it was posted, it had 400,000 views, which is like a crazy amount, obviously.
Yeah.
A day after that, just out of nowhere, it hit the Explore page and got another 1.3 million views beyond that. So as of right now, it's on 1.7 million views, and 1.4 of them or 1.3 of them came within 24 hours.
And that's on one photo.
Just on one photo on Instagram.
Insanity.
And so like if you kind of parse that out over the course of, you know, 30 days, the average post hitting, you know, 200,000 to 300,000 people means that we're hitting anywhere between like 5 to 7 million people a month.
That's wild.
And there's a lot of famous people that follow it, which
is why some
of the music is curated towards that. Most notably, he's definitely not listening, but maybe at a later date, Diplo, the DJ who's like part of Major Lazer, the pop group as well, too, that has some of like the biggest songs of all time, has followed this page for far longer than I've owned it. And I reached out to him last year and said, hey, I'm going to be at this music festival in London, Ontario. I already have a backstage pass. Is there any chance you want to like hang out? And much to my surprise, he responded back being like, yeah, let's do it. And so I ended up being on stage with him and like, I don't know, 10 to 15 other people. And then literally like he comes off stage, leaves, goes into his trailer. And then everybody's pretty much like leaving, wrapping up. He's not like taking photos with anybody. And then I sent him another DM being like, hey, like I'm near your trailer if you want to come out and hang out. And there was two people at this picnic table that I was talking to.
Yeah.
Telling them about this Sunday, which I'll get into in a moment. And basically, to make a very, very condensed version, I shoot documentaries. That's what I do,
yeah,
pretty much in a nutshell.
You make documentaries, you travel the world, make
and
documentaries.
I was telling these two girls at this picnic table after this show, like, about one of the documentaries. It's called The Great Migration. It's like a nature-style documentary on, like,
it's
a college
wild
party on the ice. And literally, like, all I hear is a voice behind me going, sounds like a pretty good idea. And I turn, and Diplo is just standing there in a flannel shirt, leaned up against his trailer, drinking a coconut water with, like, sunglasses hanging off his neck. And I turn around and I go, hey, I'm Kieran. He goes, I'm Thomas. Nice to meet you, which is like his real name.
Yeah, yeah.
Shakes my hand. And then he just kind of like paces back and forth near the picnic table while he starts asking me questions about like vintage frat and like everything that I do with my life and all the, and the docs and all this other stuff. And so, yeah, pretty cool moment to just like hang out with him. But it was probably like, I don't know, 15 to 20 minutes. And in the middle of it, he actually had to go to the restroom. And when he came back, he was like, all right, Kieran, where were we? And like, he remembered my name enough. Like, he probably meets hundreds of people every day. And he still took the time. Oh, for sure. And he still took the time to, A, remember my name, but also give me the time where it was like his undivided attention on me for about 20 minutes.
And it wasn't like he was scrolling on a phone.
No,
or doing,
no,
like,
not at all.
He were
was
engaged
locked
in
into
conversation.
Talking to me. And then literally like,
I love that.
I want to say 20 minutes goes by of us just like talking about, I can't even remember other than just like, oh, he actually asked about you. Cause he was, I was like, can I get a photo with you? And I have it on my phone.
Yeah.
And, I was like, my dad's a DJ. And he was like, how old's your dad? And I was like 55 or 54 at the time. He goes, huh? He's only, 6 years older than me or 7 years older than me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Diplo's older for sure. It's not like he's a 21-year-old DJ. He was 21 back in like 2002.
Yeah, well, what's funny about it is we ran this 5K with Diplo on Saturday.
Days ago.
Yeah, just literally this week. This time last week, we were finishing up or getting ready to run it, actually.
Yep.
And I was standing waiting for Diplo to come out and, you know, when the run was starting. And you were in a different corral than I was. You were in the faster runner corral. And,
not that fast.
but in the much faster than I. And I was standing talking to these people, and I said, you know, it's amazing, you know, Diplo, you know, being as old as he is. And the person went, how old is he? And I go, he's like 47. And the person goes, oh, my God, he's like my dad's age.
Yeah, I think he's 48 like, oh now, God, too, yeah. I think, if you look it up. But he's had a crazy life, and, like, we can play some of the songs that I added to this playlist.
Yeah,
but,
got,
like, the first big one that you should play is Paper Planes, which is, like, most people don't know the name of the song, but they definitely know the song, and he was the one who made it. And
really?
This was, like, the big song that popped off, so we can play this, and then we can talk more about it after.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's play a little Paper Planes, and then we'll come back, and we'll chat up a little more.
Cool.
I'm gonna take your money, all I wanna do is say, third world democracy. Yeah, I got more records than the KGB. So, no funny business. You already are.
Great song, and I had no idea that that was a Diplo infused.
It's an old one, but it's a great song, and I feel like a lot of people just don't know like the name of it, but they've definitely heard it a million times because
In
so many movies, TV shows, like, you know, commercials and stuff like that, and that was like the big one that he kind of popped off from, which is pretty cool. And then actually, like, on the note of Philly as well too, he went to Temple University, which is like one of the big schools there, but he dropped out. And he dropped out to pursue music full time, and
he did well for himself.
He definitely made it.
So let's talk about this Diplo run that we did. So it was a 5K. It's called the 5K and Rave
Diplo Run Club, and it's the 5K and Rave. It's pretty cool.
It's wild.
Yeah, it's awesome. He realized at some point, I want to say in 2024 was the first time they did it, that he was meant to play like an all night party in Miami, like a few years back, and basically over the course of it, he went for a run beforehand to clear his head, and he had said, like, I had never felt better in my entire life, and he actually did the entire thing sober, which is pretty rare for DJs and rappers to perform sober all night, because obviously you're tired and, you know, you want to get some alcohol in you. I mean, I don't, but people do for sure, and it's been pretty neat to see how big it's gotten. But basically he decided, you know what, I'm going to do runs as a result of that, and it pretty much just kind of expanded into all sorts of things. To the point where, like, Diplo was, you know, actually hosting these run clubs all across the country in every way.
Well, it's pretty wild. I mean, I got to tell you, it was wild to be a part of it. You know, I was really stressed out on Saturday morning. We get there and there's thousands of people.
About 10,000 is what I counted. I didn't count 10,000, but like that's what the numbers went up to on everybody's bibs.
Yeah, it was wild. And I mean, and we were all corralled into different areas and different facets. I mean, there was people, I think you said the fastest person or the person that ran the fastest was like a 15.
It was 15 minutes and 40 seconds, which for the 5K, which according to the internet is only about 2 minutes off of like Olympic world record time. Which I think 12 minutes is like Olympic world record.
And he came in probably around just the 20-minute mark, Diplo himself.
Just above that, which is crazy.
It is really wild. And then listen, what did you run it in?
Oh, I don't, like, just over 30 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I ran mine in 43, and I'm pretty darn happy about that. That was pretty wild.
The fact that you did it in the first place, not having ran, like, I ran every day for the most part to the end of our street
well,
and back.
I practiced.
Yeah. Yeah, did you?
No. I practiced the morning of stretching.
Pretty good benchmark, though.
Yeah. It is. It's something, in my opinion, that I will be able to now make a determination on.
Doing more of them?
The next one that I do, that I can, I know that when I do it, I have something to strive for and something to build off of.
Well, exactly. And would you, I mean, so the run ends, they give you a medal, which is really cool.
It's
awesome. And then you go into the stadium. Like, we went into Eagle Stadium and he's playing a rave.
Yeah, which is crazy.
10,000 people.
Yeah. I forget what the first DJ's name was.
DJ Premier. He's big in New York City.
Yeah. He was fantastic. And he did a bunch of old school stuff, kind of, which for me, the timing, like, he was like, oh, we're going to bring it back. And I was like, he's like, we're going to do some old house music. And I was like, this is perfect. perfect. So we did it like a really cool house, late 80s, early 90s house set, which I thought was amazing. And then Diplo came on and the place
lit the roof. If was a roof to Eagles Stadium, he would have lit it on fire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was awesome. And then we had to get out of there and we drove home through a tornado as well, which was crazy.
We did. Pretty scary. Yeah, but, it is what it is.
Let's play a little more. You said Major Lazer here.
Yeah. Diplo went on to form a group with a couple of people called Major Lazer, which is like responsible for a lot of big songs. And I know, like Mom was saying last week on 30 Years of Nonsense, like, I don't think I know any Diplo songs. And I was like, I'm pretty sure you know these songs.
Yeah.
And also, like, this isn't on here, but like, Who Run the World? Girls, produced by Diplo as well, too, which is like one of the biggest Beyonce songs of all time.
Well, the second song we're going to play, we'll play two back to back here. So, No Better, and then Cold Water, which is Major Lazer and Justin Bieber,
yeah,
which is a huge song as well. So, let's play these back to back, and then we'll come back and we'll
talk some more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Flippin' that. Pull up in that for my God. Whole squad getting that. Please say it ain't true. I had to go and cop two. Hell, now we can't fit in that. Wild ones, like we fresh out the cage. Showtime, baby. Fresh off the stage. Bad little mama, fresh off the page. Front like you love, but you know that you hate it. Yeah, you know no better. Yeah, you know no better. Talk for the ones who don't know no better. Cause baby, I know you better.
Cause baby, I know no better.
Baby, I know you better.
Baby, I know.
Baby, I know you better. Baby, I know you better.
Baby, I know no better. Top dropped off of my whip. Whipping that. Yellow and the purple on mix. Mixing that. Call my bitch from the tropics. Yeah. You know where she's sitting at. Taking shots, pouring bottle after bottle. Hell no, we ain't sipping that. Wild ones, like we fresh out the cage. Showtime, baby. Fresh off the stage. Bad little mama, fresh off the page. Front like you love, but you know that you hate it. Yeah, you know no better. Yeah, you know no better. Yeah, you know no better. Ooh.
Yeah, you know no better. You know no better. Ooh, say that talk for the ones who don't know no better. Cause baby, I know you better.
Cause baby, I know no better.
Baby, I know you better.
Baby, I know.
Baby, I know you better.
On the chips, damn. Ice cream gave her chills.
Ice cream.
Too much cash, pay the bills. I make a ride Mercedes. I can afford the latest. Baby, ignore the Raiders. Just pull up, we pop out, we raise. You know no better.
Nope.
Stack my bread up.
Stack.
Don't get fed up.
Nope.
Ain't gonna let up.
Yeah.
You told me to shut up.
Shut up.
But I'ma do better.
Huh.
It's not my race.
Woo.
Get out my face.
Get out.
Drop my case.
Drop it.
Which way?
That way.
Yeah, you know no better. Say you're different. Ooh, you're kidding. Yeah, you know no better. Ooh, say that talk for the ones who don't know no better. Cause baby, I know you better. Baby, I know you better. Baby, I know you better.
Sometimes, you know, what else can we do when we're feeling low?
So take a deep breath and let it go. You shouldn't be drowning on your own. And if you feel you're sinking, I will jump right over into cold, cold water for you. And although time may take us into different places, I will still be patient with you.
Production in that song is incredible.
Yeah, both those songs are bangers.
Oh yeah, they're huge. So let's talk about some other stuff that's going on. So you said you're doing something big on Sunday. What's going on?
Yeah,
are you able to talk?
Yes, of course. For the last 2.5 years, pretty much, it's kind of been the only thing I think about. But I shot a documentary series called I Love College in the United States for all of 2025 and a little bit of 2024. And yeah. Basically, I shot it in 5 different states, and then one of them are in London, Ontario, where Western University. I know we're on the Queen's campus right now, so not many people probably want to hear that. But yeah, I shot this docu-series on like the biggest college parties in America. Like, imagine Project X meets modern day meets like the people responsible for throwing it.
Yeah.
I've
seen them. They're wild.
Yeah. And so each one of them is completely different, but I think they all tell a really, really good refined story that illustrates how important it is, like the decisions you make in college and the people you surround yourself with.
Absolutely.
And I think that the setting of each of them is very fascinating, because in episode one, you know, you're at a country music festival in Texas, and it's just crazy.
Are you putting them out in the sequence that you shot them in now?
Not that I shot them in, no.
Okay.
The ones that you've seen the order, yes. So
okay.
Episode one is the Country Music Festival in Texas. Super Southern vibe. You feel like you're right there. It's like immersed in it. It's like Boots and Hearts meets Stagecoach meets a giant American flag waving is pretty much what it feels like.
The cinematography in that one is unbelievable.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's wild. Just the intro where it's just going down and they're all kind of, everything's in slow motion. That one guy throwing the beer and the person catching it in the video. It's just incredible. I can't wait for everybody to see these. They're the cinema, like I said, words can't describe how really cool there is. And I know I'm your dad and whatever, but I mean, anybody that you've shown them to or that have seen clips of them are like, hey, this is wild. Who shot this?
And me.
Yeah, you know, so it's incredible.
It's very nice to hear that. I appreciate it. It was crazy, actually, because that clip of the guy throwing the beer can, he's throwing it over top of, I want to say, like 200, 300 people.
Yeah, it's
wild. The only reason I have it is because I went out earlier that day in College Station, Texas, which is where the doc was shot, and bought like a $400 SD card that's capable of capturing that much raw footage into 120 frames, because I have like a very expensive camera, but you can't just use a regular SD card, so I had to go out and buy it. And if I didn't buy that, then I never would have caught that clip. And that clip, just the end of that, is the very last thing you see in the trailer before it cuts to the I Love College logo.
Okay.
And all so right. Super important, because it's a sweet clip, and that thing will...
It really is.
I mean, Sunday is crazy. It'll take a life of its own. Why don't we play the first song that you hear in the doc, which is For Those About to Rock by AC/DC, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more.
All right. Here we go. Come on. We'll be right back. What a great song.
It's a good one.
It is. So I do have a question. So we were out tonight and we went and saw a movie, and when the previews were coming on, there was all these different 80s songs being remixed and played into, and they were all Disney movies. We went and saw Toy Story 5, and the music, even the music in that, the just... So my question for you is, what, as a videographer and a documentarian, what makes you choose the music you choose for your shows and the different clips and pieces? Because you have it all interspersed with, like, some great B-roll and some talking and stuff. But, I mean, you went to film school. Was that taught in film school, or is that just something you just inherently know?
I wouldn't say it's something I inherently know, and not that it was or wasn't taught in film school, but I wasn't there for most of it because I was filming these documentaries, so I can't specifically, and I was oil rigging for the other half of film school.
Oh,
so
I remember.
We can talk about that later, but to answer your question, I would say the way I try and do it, which I don't know if anybody who's listening to this is trying to get into videography, is most people's attention spans last a lot longer when you're listening to a song. And so I try and build out the scenes around songs that I'll use, only because not that song, like that song's 5 minutes and 43 seconds, for example. But like each episode of these documentaries are 21 to 25 minutes long-ish. So like the length of a TV show. And what I'll do is I'll base, like, if I'm trying to use a really good popular song, that's going to be about 90 seconds of a montage and then, you know, a little bit leading up to it as well, too. But you don't want the entire documentary to just be song, 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 song. You want there to be tension, release, tension, release. And even if it's not dead silent while someone's talking, you do want to have some sort of like very soft vocal underneath that, that like very much underscores how different the next thing is. So it makes it feel that much more impactful. So you don't want to play like a crazy beat that's underneath somebody talking. You would want to play something soft to add so much more depth going into it. And so for these songs that I'm building into it, for example, that's the first one that you hear. I wanted to go, all right, what's the most like unapologetically rock and roll 80s, not necessarily country, but like unapologetically American song that's going to come into literally 1,000 people in Texas going crazy in a field, like in front of a giant American flag, and like AC/DC and that song just came to mind.
It like you would think that a team put this together the way this is laid out. It's wild. So
it took me literally like that first documentary took me 2.5 months to edit.
Oh, I remember
it was a while. I spent the entire summer in a house in Toronto editing it from May until pretty much this time last year. And then I finished it. And then I actually hadn't made the first minute of the documentary. I did that at the very end because you want to make that the most impactful thing as well, too.
Yeah, it was really cool.
So, yeah.
All right, well, let's move on. So that's the first one is Texas, right?
Yes.
Texas Forever, I think it's called.
That is, it's based on a song called Texas Forever by Hudson Westbrook. We can listen to that later if you want, or you can just check it out in your own time. Amazing song. And he was actually someone that performed at the festival as well, too.
So. Which is cool.
He's an amazing artist, a young guy as well, too, like in his mid-20s, and super talented, and that's kind of what the whole thing is based around. And then episode two is called The Great Migration. Would you like to know more about what that means?
Yeah, tell us about it.
So,
tell us about this story about...
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to think about where I want to start. So 10 years ago, it would have been 11 now, but when I filmed it, it was February of 2025. 10 years before that, in 2015, one fraternity decided that they were going to raise money for epilepsy on their frozen lake by throwing a hockey tournament for the Lilies Foundation, which is big in the U.S. And basically, they were just going to like raise money, and they were throwing an event called Lilies Classic. The first year they did it, literally just imagine the water down where Kingston is. It's a frozen lake, but their home is literally right on the water, so they're right there. Maybe 50 people showed up their first year.
Played a little shinny hockey,
ice hockey. That was literally what it was. Red Bull sponsored
it. Hockey.
Right? I have the footage of it because it's on YouTube, and they gave it to me. The year that I went, 9,000 people showed up.
The video and the drone footage you have from this event is unbelievable. It is incredible. It's like a concert on the lake, on a frozen lake.
Literally,
it's wild.
While they're playing hockey.
While they're just playing...
literally just like
pond hockey.
Literally they're just playing pond hockey. But basically what happened is because of social media and because the party kind of took on a life of its own, they just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it never really stopped. And then in 2024, they weren't able to do it because the ice wasn't thin enough. And they thick enough, yes, sorry. And they have a team of engineers come out from the city that basically excuse me, measures the depth of the ice. And if it's not deep enough by a certain time, they say you can't do it.
Sure, so that makes sense. I mean, they don't want everybody. There's 9,000, 10,000 people standing out on the ice watching this hockey game go on, this charity hockey game.
While partying and dancing.
While there's DJs and everything going on. It's wild. The video, again, unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, and it's called Lily's Classic, correct?
That's not the name of the documentary. The name of the documentary is called The Great Migration.
Yes.
Because when you watch the footage from above, like I was on the sixth story of the house where my room was, and basically you can see people from like literally like miles and miles away walking from across Lake Mendota, which is where it is in Wisconsin. It's at the University of Madison, Wisconsin. And people walk from all, because the entire city's based around this lake. Kind of the way Kingston's kind of set up, but like on the water a little bit. But the entire thing wraps around it, not the way Kingston does. You have Wolf Island and obviously the St. Lawrence.
So it's literally a lake in the middle of a town.
Yes.
And they come from all
and
sides.
So people walk across it to come. And I was like, these people look like penguins as they're moving. This is really funny. And I remember being on the phone with somebody saying, like, I think that I should like cut this to be like a David Attenborough Netflix style documentary, which I thought would have been really funny just based on the way the intro looked.
Yeah.
And so I decided I was going to do that. And I called it The Great Migration, and it kind of stuck. And basically the beginning and the end is narrated by like David Attenborough, like pieces AI. I found, and then I used AI to cut it together for him to say The Great Migration. But everything beyond that, other than him saying The Great Migration and Lily's Classic, is like actual stuff from like Netflix and BBC and Planet Earth and all stuff.
All fused together.
Because he's talking about people, like penguins moving across the ice in the documentary the same way that like these people would. And I thought it was just fascinating.
So they refer to it as Happy Lily's Day as well, right?
It's gotten so big in Madison, Wisconsin, A, that they had to shut it down this year. The last time that they had it was when I was there.
Which is wild that you did not. You were there the final year for it.
And so it's happening again this year.
Is it?
Like in 2027, yes. But this year they decided that they didn't want to do it. Like the city said, you can't do it. But it got so big that there's three times a year that students are not allowed to have friends and guests from out of town in the dorms, which is Halloween, their homecoming, and Lily's Classic.
That's wild.
And imagine being responsible for an event so big that the city has to create bylaws around you and your friends having parties. It sounds familiar, actually. No, it's not important. But
but especially for such a thing that's raising so much money for charity.
Yes.
And just so we're clear, all of these videos, so Texas Forever was also a music festival, but it raised money for...
I can't even remember. I'm not even going to lie. I literally can't remember.
Well,
they raise money, actually. That fraternity raises money for the Huntsman Foundation, separate from it.
Yeah.
And they raise $2.5 million a year for the Huntsman. And they do something called Derby Days, which will probably be the subject of a documentary at a later date.
It's wild. And again, the philanthropy that goes into fraternity life is very seldom talked about.
It's not talked about, which is why we're about to talk about it and why my platform is about to try and expand that to the masses.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, basically, like, this documentary, it's incredible. Like, I love the way it looks. When I show a lot of people that this is their favorite, just because it looks so different.
The Great Migration?
Yeah, to all the other ones.
Okay.
And also a lot of the Canadian guys that I've shown it as well, too, are like, dude, like, this was me playing hockey. And, like, all these people
pond hockey as a kid. Yeah.
Yes. And so, yeah, the entire city kind of shuts down for the day for Lily's Classic. And I got really lucky because when I decided to reach out to them and Texas A&M, for example, they both said yes, and I went and I filmed it. And this year, in 2026, half of the festival in Texas didn't happen because it got rained out on day two, and Lily's Classic didn't happen. So if I had waited, I wouldn't have gotten to film it. And I took a chance while I was still finishing up my final year of school just to go film it and take time off,
and
I wouldn't have gotten the opportunity to.
You can send your prof a link to your videos.
I'm not going
to
do that, but maybe at a later date.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so, I mean, after that, episode 3, which we can play some more music to because I have a lot of it added in here, is called Cal Day.
Okay, before we get on to Cal Day, what song are we going to play from Lily's Classic?
I don't even think I added one.
Really? There's no music in here from Lily's Classic?
I don't think so, no. I mean, it's not that I didn't, like, I just wasn't thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
But
okay, well, let's talk about Cal Day.
Cal Day has tons of music in here. I was thinking about that because I was watching it earlier today, thinking about how excited I am to show it to people. But UC Berkeley is the oldest school on the West Coast. And it's crazy enough, actually, I read a book about my fraternity.
Yes.
And basically, the way I would describe it is, most people don't know this, but Peter Pan was inspired by an earthquake that happened in San Francisco in the early 1900s.
All right, tell me more.
And so basically, this whole book that I read kind of explores the early days of UC Berkeley and the people that were responsible for kind of building the school 30, 40 years before that. And then this earthquake kind of tore things apart.
Okay.
And I decided, I was like, you know what? I want to go and actually shoot a documentary, not on the earthquake or anything like that, but on the school itself and on their homecoming. And so I decided I was going to reach out to this group and go see what Cal Day was all about, because that's their big homecoming and everybody dresses a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's like so California. We're in the mountain ranges of Berkeley. It's so cool. And they just played all of this like different music that I added to the actual like documentary, and I was like, I'm gonna use that song. I'm gonna use that song here to make it feel like I was actually there when I was shooting it. And what's crazy is for some of the documentaries that I shot, I had 8 months because I went back multiple times, like 3 times to Arizona State, for example. But I literally had just over 24 hours to film this before I had to drive.
Yeah, because Cal Day is literally a one-day event. It's not like it's where you can, and it's you'll see in the documentary where everybody's dressed. Always
in blue and gold.
Blue and gold. Yeah,
basically, the name of the yearbook is called Blue and Gold, which was actually started by the fraternity that was part of the first 7 people that ever graduated from the school. It's insane. And so there's so much that goes into it, but the music is like my favorite stuff part of it as well too. So you could probably start off by playing Three Nights by Dominic Fike, which is like one of the first songs you hear in the actual, and then yeah, we'll play a couple more from the documentary as well too. It's all stuff you've either heard or stuff that's like very California.
At the motel under street lights in the city of palms. Call me what you want when you want if you want. And you can call me names if you call me up. Feel like the least of all your problems. You can't reach me if you wanna stay up tonight. Stay up at night. My green lights in your body language. Seems like you could use a little company from me. But if you got and figured out like you say, don't waste a minute, don't wait a minute. It's only a matter of time for you to tell me now. I've been up for 3 nights at the motel under street lights in the city of palms. Call me what you want when you want if you want. At the motel under street lights in the city of palms. Call me what you want when you want if you want. And you can call me names if you call me up. I can't fix each and all your problems. I'm no good with names or faces. She sent me naked pictures from a neck down to the waist. I get my feelings involved. She stopped returning my calls. The flaws turning to walls and barricades. And I'm too. Music, watching movies, talking to the walls in my room, walking through the halls in my head, just trying to make sure it all makes sense. I ain't made no money, maybe someday you can take it from me. I'm up too late thinking about you and MIA for 3 nights at the motel under street lights in the city of palms. Call me what you want when you want if you want, and you can call me names if you call me up. 3 nights at the motel under street lights in the city.
It's only teenage wasteland.
Sally, take my hand. We'll travel south across land. Put out the fire. Don't look past my shoulder. The exodus is here. The happy one. Get